back now to Luke chapter 2 and start with verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Amen. So Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Everyone comes to this part, kind of stresses that waiting. And it was a long wait. The whole of the people of God were waiting. Many were confused about just what they were waiting for. We've talked about that many times, but going through these songs in Luke, you see elements of that even in there, in the celebrations of the birth of Jesus. There's that element of the sort of unexpected that some could misread and think the kind of Messiah that was coming was what they had been looking for, the one to redeem Israel, free it from Roman oppression and so on, and exalt it to being the greatest nation. And Jesus comes as a different kind of Messiah, which develops problems throughout his ministry, growing toward the end with ultimately the crucifixion, but then the resurrection and ascension and so on. But among those who were waiting was this Simeon. And his waiting was different than other people's waiting, because his waiting had a promise that he was not going to wait all that long. We don't know how long he was waiting, but he was told that he would not die before he saw the promise fulfilled, before he saw the Lord's Christ. So that's a different kind of waiting. We tend to be very impatient people. You know that. You know, we want everything right now. I was at the Murraysville State Store before Christmas. Young people, the fine wine and good spirits store, but for people of my age, it will always and forever be a state store. But they were only letting, you know, so many people in, as is the rules these days, and so there was a line outside, and I got in the line. I had four or five people in front of me. Pretty soon, there were two or three people behind me. But I was struck by the number of people, which it was like four or five, who came up and seeing that kind of line just got back in their cars and left. And the line actually moved pretty quickly. But we don't like to wait. People do not like to wait for much of anything. And so when we come to this passage, it should sting a little bit. There were people who were waiting for centuries. There were four centuries of silence without a word of prophecy. And Simeon was among those waiting and waiting. But he had this promise. And he's waiting for this promise to be filled. Now, many think Simeon was a very old man. They're told that primarily because of what he says. Right? He sees the baby Jesus. He takes the baby Jesus up in his arms and he says, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And so he's basically saying, this is it. The promise is fulfilled. I'm ready to go. And so he must have been old. And I suspect that could be true. It could be true. But it isn't necessarily true. I mean, he's been waiting for this magnificent promise to be fulfilled. This is the hope and dreams of all the years, as we sing in one of our Christmas carols. This is, and it's now fulfilled here, and he's holding that baby of promise in his very hands. And the promise to him and the promise to all of Israel and really all of the world through Abraham has now been fulfilled. He's holding it. He's seeing it. He's celebrating it. And I think it would be fairer to translate, rather than "let this old man come home in peace now that I've seen this," as "it's not going to get any better than this. I'm good to go." I think he could be 25 and be a man of faith. Say, "This is what we've been waiting for. This is the moment we've been waiting for. It's all fulfilled. Take me whenever. I lived to see this moment." So I think it's the unbridled joy of seeing the fulfillment of God's promise more than, "Oh, I'm old and tired and done now." I just think that puts a wrong spin on the story. Even if he was old, that misses the joy that he's experiencing. And really the celebration that I've seen this, that we've been waiting for. And he talks about the universal scope of it. That's why it's so appropriate. It's in Luke, you know, the gospel writer who was not Jewish, who was an associate of Paul, who took the word to the Gentiles and sees the gospel spreading. Luke writes his gospel directed probably to a Roman, most excellent Theophilus. You know, so it's seeing this universal scope, and he heard that. Probably from Mary. Mary keeps these things and treasured them in her hearts. Mary and Joseph are amazed by these things. And where did Luke get his information? Probably from Mary. She says, it was this man who came up and took the baby right out of my hands. I didn't know what was going on, but then he starts singing a song. I told you, Luke is like a Broadway musical, at least the first couple chapters. People just break into song. But part of his song is, this is a light of revelation to the nations. That's what Gentiles means. A light of revelation to the nations. Till then, God's revelation has gone, in a sense, to everyone. We talk about natural revelation. And his natural revelation has gone everywhere. You know, the heavens are telling the glory of God, day to day pours forth speech. You know that psalm? But all the Gentiles had is that rather dim light and easily misunderstood light of natural revelation. They didn't have the special revelation. That was for Israel. To them was the prophets. And now that's changing. And Simeon knows that's changing. He's been perhaps informed by the Holy Spirit, or perhaps he's been an avid steward, student of scriptures, that he realizes the promise to Abraham was that in you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And so with the fulfillment of the promise, he says, this is a light of revelation to the nations and the glory of your people, Israel. He understood the glory of Israel was not that Israel would be exalted as the greatest nation on earth, which is what most people were hoping for, but that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, brought the full glory of what Israel was all about. He saw that all those stories that we study, all those psalms, all those prophecies were pointing to this moment, to this person, to Jesus the Christ. And it's being fulfilled. And then, sort of to second the motion, there is an old person. You notice that they don't say anything about Simeon's age. That's, I did, but the scriptures don't. But they do tell us that Anna was old. You know, she's an old woman. And I know for some of you, 84, you might say, that's not really that old. But in that day and age, that was up there. So she's an old lady and a prophetess. She's been given a gift of the Spirit to prophesy to God's people. And now she comes in at that very time. So obviously led in the Spirit, says that she was sort of always there. So it means she approached where this was going on and probably overheard Simeon. And she instantly recognizes what's going on and begins to praise God for what he has done, for his promises coming true. And Mary and Joseph, what a day for them and for all the faithful. Because Anna begins telling everyone and praising God. And people would join in, right? Oh, that's what we're doing now? We're praising God? And they don't know it has something to do with Jesus, but Mary and Joseph knew more. They understood more. And their understanding keeps being deeper and more enriched. Now, if you read the rest of the chapter, it goes on to where they didn't understand everything because they're confused by the 12-year-old Jesus in the next story. And then we jump much forward. You know, Luke's very selective in what he talks to us about. But what a day for them. Now, I just want to reflect briefly, short one today. I just want to reflect briefly on these first two chapters. We've jumped in sort of here and there to look at the four songs, as we call them, in Luke's gospel. They're more psalms than song. They could have probably were said rather than sung, but we don't know that. They certainly have a musical quality to them. I think it is possible that they were sung. But think about what we've seen. If you've been around for all four or been watching for all four of these, just think about how it's all come together. All of the different people who have been drawn to the gospel story and who have actually been drawn into the gospel story. They've become a part of it. And it's become a part of them. We start with Mary and Joseph, you know, a young couple. I know some people think, oh, well, Mary was young, but Joseph was an older guy. And probably Joseph was pretty young also. A few years older than Mary, but you know, she was somewhere in her teens, most likely, and Joseph probably wasn't all that much older. I know there's that idea that he was much older, but I'll tell you where that idea comes from. Principally two things. One is that after this next incident where we see Jesus in Jerusalem 12, Joseph kind of drops out of the story. And so people say, see, he must have been older and he died in there somewhere. That's why we don't hear from him again. But if you read the Gospels carefully, there's a lot of people that are not, you know, kind of in and out. If they don't have a featured role in something, it's because the Holy Spirit wants us looking somewhere else. So it doesn't mean that he was gone from the scene after that at all. We don't know anything about Mary either until she shows up much later in the Gospels. And so we don't know that. The other reason, and probably the primary reason, is that that comes from the Roman Catholic Church. Remember, the Roman Catholic Church developed much, much later than the Gospels, pretty far along, actually, in early church history, the idea that Mary was perpetually a virgin. Now, the scriptures don't teach that. They say that Joseph kept her a virgin until she gave birth to her firstborn child. Every indication is then she had more children, that they had a regular, healthy marriage, and it produced offspring. And we meet them later in the Gospels, that Jesus has brothers and sisters, siblings. And they are the children of Mary and Joseph. But because the Catholic Church developed this weird doctrine of the perpetual virginity of Mary, they had to protect that somehow. And so they have the idea that Joseph was much older when he married Mary. And those children, those brothers and sisters, are sort of stepbrothers that Joseph had by another marriage and his wife died. And the Bible doesn't tell us anything like that. Absolutely no indication of that. But it's become so common that even as Protestants, as Presbyterians, we tend to get pick up on that stuff and think Joseph was way older. Anyway, getting way off the subject. Boy, that's never happened before. Anyway, my point was, you have a young couple who are going to have a baby. And then the next people we see are an old couple who are going to have a baby. And we jump from Galilee to Judea, which is an amazing transition, really. As we move on in the gospel, we'll talk more about that, because Jesus' Galilean ministry is wrapping up where we are in Mark, and he's moving into Judea, and there are some notable differences in that. But already in Luke's gospel, we go from Galilee, that Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth in Judea. And she goes from Nazareth, a fairly poor town in Galilee, a fairly poor region, not destitute by any means, but she goes to Judea, which is where all the money is, and to the family of a priest, and priests, by and large, did pretty well. I can explain why, but that will get me off the subject again, and we'll go somewhere we don't need to go. But anyway, so we leap in age, we leap in economic status, we leap in geography to a total different place, and yet there again we see magnificent celebrations of the promises of God coming true. And then we go back to Galilee, and then move to Bethlehem. And there Jesus is born. And we have the celebration of angels, and we have the news coming to shepherds, people that weren't counted as a lot in society, but were plentiful in Bethlehem. You know this, right? That Bethlehem was noted, the big industry in Bethlehem was sheep, because it was near Jerusalem, and the sheep for sacrifice in the temple were basically grown, raised, whatever you do with sheep. What am I, a farmer? I don't know. What, raised sheep, herded sheep, whatever. Yeah. Whatever they did with sheep, they did it in Bethlehem. And so there were shepherds. And the angels go to the shepherds of all people. And the shepherds rejoice, and the angels rejoice, and the shepherds go to see. And as I mentioned in there, again, we have the idea that this is a little place with just Mary and Joseph, and the shepherds come. But I pointed out that little phrase that I think is very important, that the shepherds tell what they saw and heard, and it says, and all who heard it were amazed. Now, if there's Mary and Joseph and a cow and a donkey and whatever we usually have, who are this all who heard it? I think there would be family in Bethlehem. David, or of the tribe of David, Joseph would seek out family, and they would be putting him up, and the family would gather, the birth of a new baby. And so there are people around, probably of pretty much all ages, and the shepherds tell what they saw and heard, and all who heard it celebrate. Now, why am I belaboring all of this? Because I think it's important to see, in these very early stages of the gospel story, we have people, as I say, drawn to it and drawn into it, of every age, of every status, of every background. And I believe that that's an indication of what the church would look like and what the church should look like. And I think by God's grace, our church has looked a lot like that. Right? We've love our young families. We rejoice in seeing the children that we have. We strive to care for them. We want to get back to providing classes and whatever we can for them as soon as possible. We love them. We love our families. We love our kids. We love our babies. We've got several more on the way. And what joy that brings us as a congregation to see that vitality. But yet we're also a congregation that is blessed with, and I believe honors and respects, our senior saints. And we've got a lot of them. We realize these are the people who laid down roots, who built the foundation that we're building upon. And so because we've been blessed with the diversity that we have, I particularly just long for the time when we can get back to all being together and seeing that more closely and celebrating that. I can't be more thankful than for the technology, that people can still watch and still be a part of what we're doing. And I truly rejoice in that. But I want more. I will pray, and I hope you will join me in praying for the day to come soon when we can get back to this being a noisy and active place. That's what it was meant to be. We still are a family. But just as your family maybe weren't able to get together for the holidays like you wanted to, so every Lord's Day is a holiday in the Lord's calendar. And our family can't get together like we used to. So we're doing the best we can, and we will continue to do the best we can. But please pray with me that we can get back to what we should look like, to who we should be. Because that closeness and that sweetness of fellowship really only happens when we can do all the one another stuff that God tells us to do. And we can find ways to do the best we can. But it was meant to be face to face. Brother to brother. Sister to sister. Father to mother. Child to child. Arm in arm. Shoulder to shoulder. Working, worshiping, growing together. Let's not give up that vision. Let's not give up that hope. Pray. Pray with me now, please. Father, we thank you for your word that shows us, teaches us, and reminds us that the gospel comes to all sorts of people and all ages of people, Lord, families and individuals, young and old. Lord, we thank you that your church looks like that. We thank you that our particular congregation looks like that. And so, Lord, we thank you for the ability that we have to stay connected. We pray that you would help us to find even better ways to do that and be more efficient in taking care of one another through this difficult time. But, oh, Father, how we long for the time when this place is noisy and busy once again. Lord, please make it so. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.